Crank it up, crank it up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Crank this up, Rob.
Oh yeah, that beat never gets old.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't
what?
See me, my time is now. It's a franchise,
it's a franchise.
Time now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot.
Time is now. Talking Sports with 12 Man. If you didn't know, the time is, of course, now. Of course, it's a Monday. I'm trying to keep you guys on your toes. End of March, Rob. Summer's getting a little hotter. That's what it's all about. But you are officially Talking Sports with 12 Man. And welcome, everyone. As always, today is March the 31st. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, T-Rob, a.k.a. Robert Ford. And we're talking Sports with 12 Man. How are you doing, Rob? As always, I got to check in with you, see how are you doing on this fantastic evening.
Man, doing fabulous, man, doing fabulous. We got a lot happening in the sports world. We got players on the move in the NFL. We got an upcoming NFL draft. And, of course, the Final Four happening this coming weekend in North Texas at Jerry World's Dome.
You forgot also, Rob, that it's a Major League Baseball got opening day, too. I mean, I want to shout out to that as well, too. A lot of fun things as far as Major League Baseball. You know, we got to respect it, but it is what it is.
Go Yankees.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. I'm not going to confirm or not that. But, as always, I want to throw out the numbers once again for those that want to call and give us your thoughts. Like we always do, you want to call into the show, and we always invite you guys to do so. That number is 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. We're also available via Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And finally, we are also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12ManSports or put in Talking Sports 12th Man, you will be able to find us. But as Rob mentioned, we got a lot of things to talk about. Very excited because, we're still kind of going to talk about some NBA. We're going to talk about some mock draft. We're going to dive into the NBA as well as some Final Four predictions. We've got a lot of things to talk about. So, Rob, let's get started right off the cuff. You've got a mock draft, and right now the question that we have is who do you think the Texans should take with that number one pick? I know we've gone back and forth. The Texans kind of hold the key as far as what's going to happen as far as those dominoes falling, Rob. And tell us who you think the Texans should pick with the number one pick.
Well, I'm a little torn here because I'm not quite sure there's a franchise quarterback in this draft, but I do believe Blake Bortles is the closest thing to the sure thing as any quarterback in this draft. He's got the size. He's got decent athletic ability. He's got a strong arm. He's accurate with the football. He knows how to locate the football. He takes care of the football. And but then, of course, this is a draft where there's a lot of strong positional talent. And so, I mean, I think any other year, Jadeveon Clowney, Greg Robinson, Sammy Watkins, you can even throw in Jake Matthews, Khalil Mack. I mean, those are some very strong positional players that I think are all worthy of being a number one pick. But, you know, the Houston Texans need a quarterback, and if you have something close to a franchise quarterback, and like I said, I think Bortles is close. I'm not sure if he's a Hall of Famer, but I think he's close to that. So if it's Texans, you need a quarterback, you traded Matt Schaub, and so I think you have to go with the pick of Blake Bortles. Yes, you signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah, but he's an NFL journeyman. He's a backup quarterback. He's not going to take you to the promised land. Bill O'Brien, from all of our sources, is very much in love with Blake Bortles. I think he believes he can trade down a little bit and get him, but if he doesn't find a trade partner, the Texans, I think, will and should take Blake Bortles.
Very, very interesting thoughts, Rob. You heard that America, Rob, thinks that the Texans should take Blake Bortles. Now, I'm going to kind of go a little different from you, Rob. I was actually in Texas last week, and, obviously that's whenever Johnny Manziel had his pro day. And, word on the street was that, you know, he had the whole contingency of folks, you know, talking about him. And I'm not saying that's the right pick, but right now, you know, if you want some excitement, yeah, I think you may want to go with Johnny Manziel. Now, like you said, I mean, it's tough because I think there are a couple of question marks or certain things with, you know, Manziel as far as his size. Is he going to be able to take that pounding, which is why, like you said, I think that's why you would go with Blake Bortles because he kind of looks the part. But if you're looking for excitement, you know, as maybe the Texans may be looking to do, they may want to go with Manziel to kind of add something back to that franchise. So, you know, there's been some questions, Rob, as far as Blake Bortles' pro day. It was kind of scripted a certain way where that, you know, he made certain throws. Some people even say that he was able to hide some throws, Rob. I mean, you know, there was an interview with Chris Sims, and he was talking about how it seemed like, you know, Blake made a couple of safe throws. He didn't really test his arm strength. It kind of different from what Manziel, he was kind of throwing it across the field. So, I mean, like you said, it's kind of one of the situations where, you know, I agree with you maybe the fact that, you know, maybe Bill O'Brien is in love with Blake Bortles, but this is a tough call. But if you want some excitement, I think you may want to go with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and of course I have some family and friends that are Houston Texans fans, and they are all crazy about Johnny Manziel. And I think Manziel would definitely be the popular pick from Texas, play at Texas A&M in the Houston area. And but I think, you know, you're looking at boom or bust with Johnny Manziel. Yes, he will bring in a lot of excitement, but is he going to bring victories? Is he going to bring the dedication to the game? I think, you know, yeah, I mean, he had a great pro day as well, so you got to give him credit for that. And so I think, you know, he's boom or bust when you look at, you know, from most NFL standpoints. You worry about his size a little bit. You worry about his hand size as well. You know, so that's, you know, some concern as well. But, you know, some scouts even concerned about Teddy Bridgewater hand size as well, even though he's got decent size. So there are some concerns. You know, I think when you're looking at a number one pick, you're hoping to get a player that's, you know, very close to being a sure thing and not a boom or bust. And I think Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans organization, I think they're prepared to make a draft pick where it's going to help them to win as opposed to, you know, taking a risk here. And, you know, I think it kind of goes back to Philadelphia Eagles back in 98 or 97, when an entire Eagles fan base wanted them to take Ricky Williams, but instead he took Donovan McNabb. And I think the Eagles made the right choice. Even though McNabb never took him to the Super Bowl, he took him to a lot of NFC Championship games. He had a lot of success where there was a lot of chaos going around in Ricky Williams' career. And so, you know, sometimes you have to make the right judgment, even though it may be an unpopular decision with your fan base.
Very interesting. Now Manziel had, you know, oversized hands, so I don't think that's a problem. You know, it's kind of funny as a guy talking about this, but he was fine. It's Bridgewater that had the small hands, and that definitely affected him during the pro day while she wore her gloves. But it is where they're. But like I said, I agree with you. You know, sometimes it's not about making the fan choice or making the popular choice. It's about making a choice that affects your franchise. Houston has done that twice, and every day chose to go with Mario Williams over Reggie Bush. But, you know, like I said, we'll definitely play up here. You know, the Texans have a lot of cards, as they say, that they're holding. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. I love it. Good job, Rob. Good dialogue back and forth. So, America, yeah, we'll see what you think about that. Let's talk about, you were talking about Philadelphia, and ironically they are in the headlines once again. I know we were kind of joking about this on our pregame talk, more or less. What's about our Philadelphia athletes about not wanting to practice? And then we got something like DeSean Jackson getting released, who is an immensely talented wide receiver. But there's some controversy with this, Rob. So he was released. And I guess the question is, we're not going to go too loud of that because a lot of speculation as far as why he was released and maybe some gang affiliation stuff. Who knows? But let's talk about the team that you think would benefit most from DeSean Jackson's services, Rob.
Well, I think, you know, you look at the two teams right now, I think they have, you know, strong interest in his services, are the Oakland Raiders and the Washington Redskins. And I think if you just look at those two teams, you know, I think, you know, the Redskins, you know, teaming him up with RG3, I think would be kind of a fascinating thing to watch, giving RG3 a weapon. You know, I'm expecting RG3 to be healthy going into this season, which I don't think he ever was healthy this past season. So if he's anything close to what he was 2 years ago and you team him up with a DeSean Jackson, that should be a dynamic duo to watch. And, you know, and also you get the opportunity to go against the Eagles twice in the season. So and I think if you're looking at it from just from those two teams alone, I would like to see him in the Redskins uniform, you know, even though they'd be in the same conference with my Saints. And but, you know, that I think to me that would be the most intriguing to see how that turns out and develops. I think when Oakland, you know, they're going out spending some money this offseason, which is surprising, you know, going out and getting Maurice Jones-Drew, trading for Matt Schaub, picking up some defensive players. So it looked like they're trying to build something there as well. But I think I still think the most intriguing team will be if he signs with the Redskins.
That's some good points too, Rob. I mean, like you said, if you're the Redskins, yeah, you definitely would hope to see that. And, you know, I got to give the Raiders a lot of credit, Rob, because it seems like, you know, a lot of teams or a lot of players will go to the Raiders to kind of see their careers die, and the Raiders are actually doing some good moves. And these aren't dumb moves, Rob. These are actually very, very unique moves that, you know, getting a Matt Schaub with some experience, getting a Maurice Jones-Drew who may have something to prove in that particular instance. So great, great moves. I definitely have to give a huge, huge shout-out to my cousin. What's up, Mario? Appreciate you giving a shout-out. He thinks that the Panthers would be a good pickup, and I like or a good resting place, excuse me, for DeSean Jackson. And you got to agree, because right now I don't think the Panthers have any receiver that has any noticeable experience. So, yeah, I mean, if you add him, I'm sure number one Cam Newton is probably very happy about that. But, yeah, he would definitely be a good piece to help him get to a postseason play. And right now, you know, on a team that didn't have any weapons. I know that he also put the Patriots down. Mario, I'm not sure this is a good situation because of what just happened with Aaron Hernandez. It may be a little too raw in that instance. And like I said, everything is speculation right now. I think the Patriots have the locker room to keep DeSean, but I think that may be a little too raw considering what's been happening with Aaron Hernandez. And then finally, we got the Jets down. He has the Jets down as well since they did a huge contract with Eric Decker. I'm not sure if they have enough cap space for him, but I don't know if that's the right fit as well because, you know, maybe in New York, maybe not the best thing with a young quarterback. I mean, if you're trying to build for the future, that may be something. But if you want to add kind of like a last-minute piece, that may be a thing to go to. But, you know, as you talked about, Rob, you know, the Raiders have been making a lot of push. Seems like Al Davis is still going from beyond the grave and giving advice because he still likes a lot of speed. And like you said, I'm surprised to see about the Redskins, but it would be a pretty interesting move if that actually comes out to play, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you mentioned Al Davis. Yeah, I would agree with you. It seems like he's still running that organization because a lot of the moves that they're making are Al Davis type of moves. And DeSean Jackson would be the L. Davis type of player as well. And and if you'd even look at the mock draft, I mean, I have Oakland taking Johnny Manziel. I mean, L. Davis would be the type of owner that would take that risk. And so you would think that he's still running that organization by some of the moves that they're making.
Very interesting. Once again, let's throw out some numbers. I hope you guys are enjoying the talk. We are here Monday, as obviously last wrap it up of the month of March here, 424-243-9519. That is the number for Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Feel free to reach out and give us your thoughts. We'd love to hear your feedback if we're making sense or if you think you would kind of trade that pick down if you're the Texans or if you would make a move for DeSean Jackson. Rob, once again, you have done a fabulous job of compiling a mock draft. I think I put mock draft 4.0. I don't know if it's 4.0 or 5. We've been kind of keeping it going, too. But let's talk about maybe some top 10 as far as where you are, your thoughts about this, and we'll definitely talk about the Final Four as well. Maybe we'll say that for the OT portion, as well as some college stars, if you will. But if everything stays as is, you know, like I said, it seems like you still got Houston taking Blake Bortles. We talked about that earlier. Number two, this is pretty interesting. You've got the St. Louis Rams actually taking Greg Robinson. This is something that's it's pretty interesting. I still think that they may kind of err towards taking Sammy Watkins. But tell us a little bit about why your thoughts about them taking Greg Robinson, the ultra-talented mauler from Auburn, if you will.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this is a very strong positional draft. And Greg Robinson, I think, in any other year will be a candidate for number one pick. He's got great athleticism. May I, you know, he's also a Louisiana kid. Let me throw that in there. But he's got great athleticism. He's got great feet for his size. And he's a, you know, great run blocker, solid pass protector as well. I think he's going to get better at the next level. And if you're the Rams, they're trying to give Sam Bradford every opportunity to succeed in the NFL. So they have to improve that offensive line. Of course, they can probably use another weapon in the passing game. Tavon Austin turned out to be a great draft pick for them last year. And I think, you know, adding another piece in the offensive line, I think, will be great here. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, of course, will be great. But they already have Chris Long and Robert Quinn at the defensive end position, so it's not necessarily a strong need. And even watch your Atlanta Falcons here. They could possibly move up to this spot at number two, and the Falcons could grab Clowney or Khalil Mack here at the number two spot. The Rams could move back to number six and still have their choice of possibly Robinson Matthews or Sammy Watkins and grab one of those three players at number six and pick up some additional draft picks here.
Yeah, that's definitely the word of the street, Rob, is that the Falcons, they've made it known that they are, you know, they're available, open for business is the word that we've used for making that particular trade, too. So we're curious as far as Falcon fans, if we are going to move up to get Jadeveon Clowney. I guess the very similar route to a quarterback, I guess if you can't get it right as far as a pass rusher, you got to keep driving until you get it right. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. You know, and I kind of tend to agree with you, but, you know, like I said, I think he's probably, you know, one of the best players in the draft, definitely top five talent, top six, top ten talent easily. So, yeah, they couldn't go wrong if they decided to go with that route. I'm not 100% sure if they're still okay with, I mean, obviously they're going to have to go with Bradford, but, you know, I was kind of curious to see if they give him one last chance to make that particular, you know, make that particular move and progress, because he has not been progressing like they have anticipated. Let's talk about number three, and you've got Jacksonville, and they've been pretty quiet this offseason, Rob. I know they've made some moves, but it seems like, as mentioned, they've been kind of under the radar. You haven't taken Jadeveon Clowney at number three. Like you talked about, if he's there, that's probably the best position or the best player on the board at the time. I still think that they need a quarterback specifically. They may not be in love with a quarterback, but do you think they can surprise us, Rob, and possibly get Mansell? Or do you think that this is definitely where they're going with Jamie?
Well, based on what I'm hearing here, Jacksonville is going to try to go with the best player available. Gus Bradley, of course, was defensive coordinator with Seattle under Pete Carroll. And if you look at Seattle right now, they're winning. They would just won a Super Bowl with a quarterback that they picked in the third round, Russell Wilson. So they don't want to reach. Like I said, every organization is different here. Some are going to reach for the quarterback if they need it. Some of them are going to take the strong positional talent here, which this draft has. And I think Jacksonville, Gus Bradley, I think 2 years in a row. And I think next year's draft class in the quarterback position may even be even stronger. I think they're going to try to see what they can do with getting some strong positional players here and continue to add talent. And if you add a guy like Clowney and you look at that Seattle roster, I mean, that team is loaded with pass rushers. And you get Clowney, who's arguably the most impressive pass rusher in this draft, to add to that team. That continues to help build a strong defense for Gus Bradley there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, you got to wonder if that's if he's definitely kind of influenced by Seattle, like you talked about. You saw how dominant that defense was. If you have a great defense, you can shut down a pretty great offense, as we've shown in the Super Bowl. Yeah, like you said, maybe you figured out, you know what, I don't have to reach for a quarterback. I'm going to grab him later on. I know if you're Jacksonville, you're probably starving for some talent or something to make you want to go to the games too, Rob. I mean, so you got to sell tickets too, so maybe it's a two-way street. But like you talked about, he's the best player available, definitely at the time. If the Falcons don't make a move, then I guess we'll see what happens for number three. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. A lot of love, Mario, once again, sir. And I think if you're Cleveland, if Sammy Watkins is there, you are ecstatic. But like you said, the same thing as well. Maybe Manziel's the guy, too. But I guess you got them taking Sammy Watkins. Tell us a little bit why. And who's the quarterback for Cleveland as well, Rob?
Well, I think if you're Cleveland right now, I think they want to give Brian Hoyer a chance here. They like with some of the things he did last year. And so I don't think they feel like they have to reach for a quarterback here. They feel like they can get some more weapons on that team, which they need. Sammy Watkins, I think, is, I think this guy's got Pro Bowl receiving skills written all over him. And you get a guy this caliber on that team, and you see what you have with Brian Hoyer. I mean, he did do some impressive things here in the last six games of the season last year for the Browns. So I think the Browns want to give him every opportunity to succeed, at least see what he can do with a year under his belt as a starter, and see what kind of year he has. I mean, I have the Browns taking two wide receivers in the first round. That team needs a lot of weapons. And they have a very strong offensive line already.
Yeah, they've got to make it. I mean, surprisingly, I know we like to give Cleveland a lot of hard time if they can get their management stuff straight, Rod. But they've got a pretty solid team. I mean, we talked about the defense was underrated. You talked about they got some talent on the line. They haven't quite figured it out with the quarterback position. And for some reason, Rob, it seems like they're always compiling picks, but they haven't quite made the right decisions, too. So that's, maybe that's why they've made some decisions as far as, GMs and whatnot. But we'll kind of see how that plays out for sure. Let's talk about number six, Oakland. We talked about it earlier. Al Davis seems like he's running the draft. And, yes, if everything goes according to your mock draft, you had them taking Johnny Manziel. Kind of in a surprising move. He would be a nice piece in a weird way for the Raider Nation. But, yeah, exciting player for sure, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we just talked about a lot of the moves that the Oakland Raiders are making. You would think that Al Davis is still behind the scenes making the moves, and this is a perfect Raider-type move. Al Davis likes to get guys who's going to bring some attention to his organization, and Manziel would definitely do that. He would definitely fill up the seats out there in Oakland. This is also an organization that's considering moving back to Los Angeles. Having that kind of fanfare would be a strong boost to ticket sales, for this Raider organization. The Manziel would bring that kind of pizzazz. Like I said, he's a boom or bust prospect. He could be the next coming of Fran Tarkenton, or he could be the bust of Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, I don't think he's Ryan Leaf just yet. But like I said, you never know. We talk about intangibles and certain things and the will to win, but we'll see that. I mean, until it actually plays out, we have no clue of what's going to happen for sure. All right, let's keep it moving because I got to get this in before it's over. I got to talk about my Atlanta Falcons. At number six, you kind of went a different direction, Rob. You had them still taking Jake Matthews over Khalil Mack, which it's kind of a 50-50 shot. And I've said this before, if Robinson, Jake Matthews, and Khalil Mack are there, I don't know who the Falcons would take, too, because it's kind of like we need help in all aspects. But tell us your thoughts. You got us taking Jake Matthews from Texas A&M. He's a great player, by the way.
Well, if you look at what the Falcons have been doing this offseason, one of the things that you can see that Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith has been trying to accomplish here, they're trying to get a little physical on both the offensive and defensive line. They feel like they got hammered in the trenches last season. And so if you look at some of the things that they're doing, Sam Baker, it looked like he's turning out to be a disaster at the left tackle position. And already went out, improved the interior, the offensive line. They need to improve the offensive line along the edges. And I think if you're the Falcons here, if this draft goes according to plan, you have a tough decision to make between Jake Matthews and Khalil Mack. And my thought process here would be, you have to protect your franchise quarterback first if you're going to spend over $100-something million on him. And even though they could use a pass rusher on the defense, especially if they're converting to 3-4, but you have to have someone that can protect the quarterback if you're going to give them an opportunity to succeed.
It's kind of tough, Rob, because everyone keeps talking about us switching to a 3-4. We actually weren't a 3-4, so I don't think it's a total 3-4, but we've been kind of playing a hybrid. But we'll keep that in mind, too. I'm kind of torn because I do believe that you have to protect your investment. But I kind of err. I mean, before I would have told you if Jake Mathis is there, we're clapping, we're running up and down to make that pick. But I'm not sure now because you definitely need some, you know, after seeing Seattle, if you have a great defense, you can shut down some offenses too. But, you know, like I said, it's a deep draft. You can get a couple of players. Obviously, it's picking out, getting the best player at the particular time for that particular pick. And I really appreciate you talking Falcons. I know that's kind of hard being a Saints fan, if you will. We got 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes left in the show. We're keeping it on moving. I'm just going to power through here. Still, 424-243 is the number if you want to reach out to us. As well as follow us via Twitter here. Let's talk number 7, which is scary for me. If whoever we don't pick, it seems like Tampa is going to bounce right on. You've got them pouncing on Khalil Mack, defensive end, outside linebacker for Buffalo, which would be a scary proposition for the NFC South opponents, Rob.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think he, you know, I think Lovie Smith would probably prefer him to bulk up a little bit and be an edge rusher in that 4-3 cover 2 defense. You know, he wants to be able to rush forward, drop everyone else in the coverage, and Khalil Mack could give him that edge, kind of like Dwight Freeney came in kind of at the same size for Tony Dungy. And I think he would be a perfect pass rusher in that 4-3 cover 2 defense to, you know, help to prevent them to not have to blitz a lot in that defense. So I think if you Lovie Smith Hill, here, he would love to get one of those pass rushers, Mack or Clowney, or one of these offensive linemen, Robinson or Matthews, in his draft. So I think he would be ecstatic if Mack falls here to 7.
Number 8, we've got the Minnesota Vikings, excuse me. You got them taking Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback from Louisville, and apparently you have him dropping, Rob. Is that because of his pro day? He had a tough pro day right now. And if you're Minnesota, do you think that he's the guy? Do you kind of let him sit for a little while, let him grow? You still think Christian Ponder is the answer? I mean, not that he's a total answer, because obviously you haven't drafted Teddy Bridgewater. What do you think about his prospects in the pros, Rob?
Well, I think obviously his pro day has dropped him down a little bit. I don't think it's going to drop him as much as some analysts are assuming. But based on my sources, the Minnesota Vikings think they would get a steal if Bridgewater falls here to number 8. They are still one of the few organizations that's still very high on him. They like his talent. They like his potential. They feel like they will be getting probably the best quarterback in the draft if he falls to number 8. And this is just the way the Vikings feel. And like I said, they will be ecstatic, and they feel like they will be getting a steal if Bridgewater falls here to number 8.
You got 2 minutes, Rob, in the show. Go ahead and set the stage as we get ready to wrap up another awesome edition of Talking Sports with 12 Men. We'll get ready to jump into the OT. I will leave it in Rob's awesome hands. Go for it, sir.
Well, stay tuned. We'll give you some information about our show on next week. Stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And you'll get all the information for our show on next week. Not quite sure what day that's going to be there. We apologize for that. But once, make sure you follow us once again on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Facebook, of course, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. So make sure you follow us and like us. Stay tuned for information on the show next week. We're still going to be talking draft here in our OT portion along with Final Four. So make sure you tune in tomorrow so you can listen to it. Unfortunately, we can't give you that information live. We've got to have something where you can go online and listen to it tomorrow while you're on your lunch break. So make sure you tune in to get the rest of our draft and Final Four predictions. Good night, people.
Good job as always. Rob does a great job of setting the table for us. We are here. We're going to talk about some stuff. We still got to talk about the NBA, Anthony Wiggins. We got to talk about him. Talk about you know, what's happened with the Final Four. But as Rob mentioned, that is definitely the OT portion. We're going to continue wrapping up probably the top 10 as far as our mock draft. And Rob does a fabulous job of putting that together as we keep moving. But as always, I want to show you guys some love. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. A big day. I want to give congrats to all of the Open Day baseball teams. That's what it is all about. And with that being said, we're going to keep moving as we talk about the OT portion of the people. Good night, people. I always expect Rob to say good night. All right, we are getting ready to kick off the OT portion of the show, which is obviously we have fun. Let's kind of wrap it up. We got two more picks to jump into. I felt we could have fit those in there really quickly, but I didn't want to rush that. You got Buffalo taking Anthony Barr, the outside linebacker from UCLA. The thing is, Rob, he's getting drafted strictly on potential. You hope he's kind of faring better than Deion Jordan. Our last guy that seemed to have a lot of potential from Oregon seems to be struggling right now in Miami. But tell us a little about your thought process and why you got Anthony Barr going to UCLA, sir.
Well, I think when you look at this team right here, I think Barr could be a borderline outside linebacker slash defensive end as well. He could be another edge rusher opposite of Mario Williams. I think if you're Buffalo here, you have a tough decision to make if you have Barr on the board, or you can either go wide receiver. Mike Evans can give E.J. Manuel another weapon, or you can even look at Eric Ebron, a tight end from North Carolina here, to give some weapons to that offense as well. But I think here you go with Barr, you try to continue to improve that defense and see if you can get better. You know, going against Tom Brady, you got to have those pass rushers in that division. And I think they'll continue to try to build a dynamic defense there in Buffalo with this pick. And as you mentioned, Anthony Barr has got a ton of talent. Athleticism-wise, he can be a top-five pick. But as you mentioned, there is some project involved with him. There's some work that you're going to have to work with them on. And so I think this will be a solid pick here at number 9.
Excellent analysis, Rob. Number 10, and we'll wrap up here. I like how you set this up, Rob. You've been pretty consistent with this pick, saying that Detroit is going to get Justin Gilbert, the outstanding cornerback from Oklahoma State. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts about this. Detroit, it's like the rich continue to get a little better here. So tell us about your thought process on this.
Well, Detroit has been needing some solid cornerback play for about 4 or 5 years, seems like, right now, and they just haven't been able to hit the jackpot. Justin Gilbert has got great recovery skills, great ball skills as well. Dequarius Denard, maybe closing on him a little bit, the cornerback from Michigan State, but I still like Gilbert here. I think Detroit still is in armor with Gilbert. You're talking about a team that has a lot of offensive weapons already and has some solid defensive players on their front four. They released Louis Delmas, who I believe went to Miami. So they still need some help in that secondary. And Justin Gilbert, like I said, has got great cover skills, great recover skills, as well as great ball skills, which you're looking for in the corner. And because quarterbacks would think twice before throwing his way. He also is a guy that can help him in a return game initially for a few years possibly. So you're getting a guy with some great athleticism. And Detroit needs to have somebody like that in that secondary.
Love it. That's the top 10 of the mock draft. Once again, Rob, thank you for putting that together. Let's keep moving here. And we're going to switch gears, like I always like to say. And we're going to talk about some college basketball. We'll talk about two special players. Number one, you got to go with Andrew Wiggins here. He declared for the NBA draft after being one and done. And I guess the question we got to say, Rob, is what type of player do you think that he's going to develop into? I'm a huge fan of sources, and I guess some comparisons have had him being compared to Rudy Gay. He's a pretty smooth game right now. Long wingspan here, but I guess the question that you have to say is right now he's not. There's some options as far as him looking a little complacent, as not having that killer instinct. But tell us about your thought process about. Andrew Wiggins, I don't know why I want to keep saying Anthony here, Andrew Wiggins and his thought process on making it on the next level, sir.
Well, I think, you know, Wiggins, when he first came out of high school there in Canada, about a lot of, you know, people were saying this is the next LeBron James. I don't see that in my analysis. It doesn't have the same physicality, doesn't have the same athleticism. Do I think he's going to be a solid pro basketball player? I do believe that. I still believe he's going to be a top-five pick. But I don't see him as being a LeBron James type of player. Maybe he can be a solid player, turn into possibly a Scottie Pippen type. Not even sure he'll be that good, but I think that's his ceiling. will be a Scottie Pippen type of player. And, you know, with his, at worst, I'm looking at a Rudy Gay kind of player. So I think somewhere in that kind of range, you know, I think he'll be a solid NBA small forward at worst. And but I don't see him having the ability of being the next LeBron James, which some people thought he would be coming out of high school.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think LeBron James is a fair comparison, Rob. You know, he's got, like, the long wingspan. You know, as mentioned, he's a prototypical size, too. Just, you know, very smooth athlete. I think he's going to be a little bit more more offense than Scottie Pippen, but I can see that that comparison, Rob, while you said that, because he's got enough tools to do that. So, I mean, he can only wish that he was Scottie Pippen-like at this juncture. I think he's got more offensive game, though, Rob. But, you know, like I said, I think, as you mentioned, if you're getting Rudy Gay, that's a good thing, too. If you're getting Scottie Pippen, you can only wish that he's got that type of skill set for sure, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, he's got solid athleticism, lean frame, and but yeah, I see him somewhere as being a Rudy Gay, at best a Scottie Pippen type player.
Love it, love it, love it. Let's talk about another interesting player here. This guy was just a talented guy, Doug McDermott, from Creighton. Just an amazing player, Rob. He's the first named to the first-team All-American team. What type of NBA player do you think he'll be, Rob?
This one is really tough to analyze here because I worry about how that athleticism is going to translate to the next level. He can shoot the basketball. There's no doubt about it. With the best of them, you know, he looks like he could be a Larry Bird type player. But, when you know, the thing you got to think about, too, when Larry Bird played in the 80s in his primes, you didn't have the athletes that you have today playing the game. And so that's the thing that scares me about Doug McDermott. I still think he's going to be right around in that 8 to 12 range. You know, I hadn't really started working on my mock drafts for the NBA just yet. But, you know, just based on my analysis so far, I have him going somewhere around 8 to 12. I have Wiggins still going in the top five. And like I said, that's going to be the only thing that's going to hold, that's going to worry some scouts. Athletically, can he play in the NBA? That's going to be the question mark. But, you know, you look at some guys, I look at him possibly being like a Ryan Anderson type player. Guy that can come in and shoot the basketball, score about 15, 17 points a game. But I think, you know, his athleticism is going to be the thing that's going to scare some scouts.
He kind of reminds me, Rob, a little bit, and this is not fair to my guy, but maybe like a Kyle Korver as well, just a good shooter, you know, at this time. I'm not saying he's like that totally an issue, but, you know, you got players that are just – that just get it, man. You know, obviously he has a matchup problem at this time. You know, he's a coach's son, so he's got that basketball high IQ. Understands about rebounding and whatnot. So like I said, I think this is – he has a lot of interesting traits, Rob. There's been players that have been very similar to him that have just been scorers, and they've been struggling in the league, obviously. You know, Jimmer Fredette comes to mind. You know, you got the J.D. Reddicks of the world that, you know, they don't have the athleticism to match up, but they can find the role, Rob. So, you know, at this instance, I think he actually is a little bit built a little bit more solidly. I do like where you said that this guy, you know, he's got good size. He can play. He can shoot. Really, really smooth shot. But like I said, there are some question marks as far as his athleticism. And if he can kind of, you know, you hope that he can overcome that maybe with his IQ. And I think Ryan Anderson is a great analogy as far as how to play that he is.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, almost the same body type. McDermott will have to get a little bit stronger, of course, playing the NBA as well, to be able to take the pounding and the physicality. But as far as pure shooters, this guy can flat out shoot the basketball.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We got about 6 minutes or so left in the show. We finally have enough time to talk about the Final Four, Rob. It has been set, a very unexpected Final Four, I would say the least, Rob. You got UConn going against Florida. And you got Kentucky playing against Wisconsin. And you got to give a lot of love to Kentucky, Rob. They played an epic game versus Michigan in the Elite Eight. You know, Julius Randle, a lot of the players playing good. And Kentucky actually knocked out a lot of the teams last year. You know, they knocked out to Louisville. They knocked out Wichita State is gone, as well as Michigan. So, you know, you got to appreciate the way that Kentucky's actually playing, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. They picked the right time to go on a roll. First time since the Michigan Fab Five where we've had five freshmen to in the starting lineup for a team to make it to the Final Four. Julius Randle, I tell you, he's really stepped up his game here in this tournament. He's having a fabulous NCAA tournament, and they're really playing really good basketball at this time. I still like Florida and Wisconsin to play in this championship game. I think overall they're playing the best basketball. That's who I expect to play in the championship game on Monday night, and I still like Florida to cut the nets down. Billy Donovan's done a phenomenal job this season with this team. They have a perfect balance of experience and talent and some youth on his basketball team. And I think Billy Donovan gets his third national championship.
Yeah, I'm sure if you're Florida, you're hoping that you wish that Billy Donovan can coach the football team as well. But alas, that's not going to happen. Anyway, as I digress, I'll try to put a little joke in there about Billy Donovan coaching the football team. But let's talk real quick about, you know, sometimes, Rob, you have a player that just kind of step up. And Shabazz Napier, you talk about a player that's, you know, he's really, really stepping up, Rob. I think this is a special, special talent, Rob. They played against a tough Michigan State team, and Shabazz just put that team on his back, man. Kevin Ollie, his first-year coach, he's 4-0 right now. He's trying to battle Steve Fisher's mark. Excuse me, Calhoun. What am I thinking? I apologize, guys. Making this move. I was reading about Napier. Rob said that his mom really wanted him to graduate. He's able to conquer that. You talk about a leader. Reminded us about Kemba Walker. He's got that intangible. And I think UConn kind of has something special, too. I like what you're saying, though. Florida seems to be the team to beat as far as having the blend of youth, or excuse me, you know, a blend of experience and whatnot. They play outstanding defense. But something about UConn, they just have they just have something special, too. So we'll keep an eye on that as far as that. Wisconsin, you don't want to underestimate Wisconsin as far as they were able to play defense when they wanted. Bo Ryan's doing a good thing with that squad, you know. And we'll see if they're able to compete against a very, very talented but young Kentucky team, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, Napier, man, he's having a phenomenal run as well. He's playing like the best guard in college basketball right now. Kevin Ollie, you got to give him a lot of credit. Done a phenomenal job taking over the UConn program from Jim Calhoun, having another run. I tell you what, these old Big East schools, man, they're still playing some good basketball, I tell you that. They had that, the conference split up and things of that nature. I know Connecticut is technically not in the Big East anymore. They're in the American East Conference, whatever their new conference name is. still playing a phenomenal basketball. This is obviously another great run for them as well. But I still have to go with Florida here. Billy Donovan, like I said, I saw the way they manhandled a hot UCLA team the other night, and I was totally impressed by that. Incredible showing, and I thought UCLA would give them a run for their money.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So we'll see how it plays out. We've set our picks. You know, Rob's got Florida, Wisconsin, and he's got Florida winning. I'm going to go with UConn. I'm going to go opposite Rob's because I can. You know, I'm going to go UConn, and I'm going to go Kentucky. We'll see how it plays out. I think UConn's going to pull it off. That's what we got. Let's wrap up the show. What a great, great opportunity for talking to the 12th man, Rob. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. We got about a minute to go, sir.
Good night, people. We appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Hopefully you guys enjoy. Tune in next week. We're going to wrap up the NCAA tournament and also continue with our ongoing NFL mock draft coverage. Good night, people.
We'll have some fun. We'll talk about the remaining picks of the mock draft. Give us your thoughts, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Good night. Thanks, Rob. Have a good show, sir.
Good night, people.